Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of It's a Definite Maybe, a podcast for those of you who are just trying to figure it all out, with your favorite co-hosts, Stella and Rosie. On today's episode, we're taking a little trip down memory lane. We're sharing some of our all-time favorite rom-coms and including the ones that raised us. So as you guys know, I have a lot of friends I've made on TikTok and the internet because that's where I spend my time. And someone I met months ago when I first started was someone called Jazz, and she's based out in New York. And one of her viral videos that blew up her account was rom-com recommendations. And so she's now the self-titled queen of rom-coms. She's been invited to premieres for rom-coms. She's worked with Netflix or Warner Brothers or something. It's like a whole thing. And she's actually made, I think there's a Google Sheets document that has like rankings and the list of rom-coms. But I have found a list of, it's like a link called letterboxd.com that we'll put in the, the share notes. But it's got this full suite of rom-coms. But I've basically been binging a lot of her content. And so it felt only right that with my favorite genre of movie being rom-coms, that we finally did an episode of rom-coms that raised us. How have we not done this yet?
I don't know, man, because we both love rom-coms.
Obsessed.
Like, it's probably one of my go-to genres of film. I love a rom-com, honestly. They make my heart sing.
They make me so happy, and the cheesier the better.
The
bad thing about my relationship, and there's not many bad things about it, it's probably one of the only things, is that my boyfriend doesn't like rom-coms. And so when we have movie night, it's usually drama, action, like it's never horror, it's never musical, and it's never rom-com. And I have to beg, basically, or if we'll have an argument about it and I'll get upset about it because I'm like, we never watch rom-coms. He's like, okay, your choice of movie, whatever you want. I'm like, thanks. And then we'll watch one, and then it's like, that's it for 6 months. And so it's, Christmas is a really hard time for me, guys, because I don't get to watch a lot of cheesy rom-com movies with my boyfriend that I want to, because like, I don't want to watch it alone, and we have one TV, so we always watch the same stuff anyway. So I'm very passionate about this subject.
I can tell. I can tell. I think whoever I end up with down the track has to at least tolerate watching rom-coms with me, even if we don't watch them all the time, as long as we're able to watch them every now and then, have a little bit of a giggle at how ridiculous they are. He lets me cry over them because I'm just like an absolute crybaby when it comes to rom-coms. If something remotely sad or even happy happens, then I'm just like a puddle of tears. Like recently I rewatched La La Land, which isn't technically a rom-com that raised us because it's not like, it's so a more recent one. But I bawl my eyes out. Like I'm practically just, I evaporate into a puddle tears when I watch that movie. It is so good. Like so good, and it just gets me.
I think what we're so lucky is that we were raised in a generation that had really good classics coming out of the 90s and early oohs. And now I look at rom-coms today and they're all kind of really cringe. And it's really
they're
hard
so
to find.
They're so much cheesier.
Yeah.
Like they were like cheesy back then, but they're so much cheesier now.
Yeah. But I'm sorry, but it's not Definitely Maybe. It's not The Notebook. It's not How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. It's corny Netflix stuff that's made for quick cash, and it's not gonna last generations. Like I still watch Love Actually every year religiously at Christmas, and that's 20 years old now.
Yeah, there are certain movies that have been staples in my rom-com list and ones that I really enjoy and I keep coming back to time and time again. And then there's definitely ones in there that, you know, you see once and you probably realistically don't need to see again.
I'm looking at the list that you and I have written, and they're so funny that there's so many overlap. Oh my god, I forgot about Princess Diaries. Yes, sorry, I'm looking at your list.
I've got it on my list. Okay.
But I mean, there's so many. Like does A Parent Trap count as a love movie, love rom-com? Because that definitely raised me. Like that was my favorite movie.
I mean,
for a while.
I guess like even sort though of it's that whole thing of like the relationship between the twins being reunited and everything, ultimately they are trying to get their parents back together. So that's kind of like the main theme of the film, I guess.
That was definitely in the golden age for sure. And I mean,
10 things I hate about you, she's the man. I'm literally just looking at your list. There's so many.
If we're talking about the golden age, I reckon it's definitely a golden age of rom-coms. I think it's definitely 90s and noughties. There's so many actresses and actors who stand out as like the rom-com people. Like Sandra from a Bullock. Guy perspective, there's Sandra Bullock for females,
Rachel
Catherine Heigl, Rachel McAdams,
Kate Hudson,
Amanda Bynes, Kate Hudson.
Oh, yeah.
For guys, there's like Colin Firth, Hugh Grant, like
Jude Law.
No, not Liam Hemsworth. Oh my God, Jude Law.
Oh,
that man is so beautiful.
I would marry that man.
So, so beautiful.
Delicious.
Like, there's so many actors that you know as the rom-com actors, and they were very, even Mary-Kate and Ashley. Leo DiCaprio, 100%, a classic.
Surely Brad Pitt's in there as well. Maybe George Clooney a little bit, even though he's a bit older.
Pretty Woman.
What a spice rack.
What a spice rack.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Pretty Woman is such a classic. Let's go with it. One of my friends used to say that's like, oh, what a spice rack. And so it's just stuck with me. It's like, yeah, basically he's hot, spicy, you know. Yeah, it's pretty self-explanatory.
Fair enough. Oh, my God. How could I forget Drew Barrymore as well?
Yes. Yep.
Drew Barrymore was massive. Oh, my God.
Did you watch that movie Music and Lyrics with her and Hugh Grant?
Yeah, I love that movie so much. Who am I thinking of?
So fun. Cringy, and I love it.
Oh, my God. Who's the woman in Pretty Woman? What's the actress's name?
Oh, my God. You need to Google this. Oh, Cameron Diaz, Ashton Kutcher as well. Not related, but.
Julia Roberts.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. That's embarrassing.
Julia Roberts. She is another one that is just.
Jennifer Aniston and Jennifer Garner.
Oh, my God, yes. There are so many.
Would you put in Mila Kunis in there?
I don't know. Like, she has been in rom-coms, but I don't know if I would count her as necessarily, like, a staple of the rom-com genre. Yeah. She has done some good rom-coms that I enjoy.
I'm looking through a lot of these, and I just must say, most of the, like, movie posters, DVD covers from the 90s and 90s, they all look the same.
Yeah.
It's this candid, half laughing or romantic glance or, they're not looking at me, but I'm looking at them endearingly. And it's all the damn same. Like,
why?
They're all just carbon copies of each other, but I'm okay with that.
Well, even in terms of like the storylines of rom-coms, there are definitely common tropes or themes that go into them. Like there's the enemies to lovers. There's the best friends to lovers. That's a really common one.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many themes that just keep being recycled, and some of them are redone in different ways and keep you kind of on your toes, and they're clever. But I think rom-coms are one of those genres where you know exactly what you're getting, and that's kind of refreshing. Like you're not watching a rom-com necessarily because you want a different experience.
Mm.
Like you're watching a rom-com because you know exactly what you're going to get out of that. And that's specifically what you're looking for. Yeah. And like you want some laughs along the way. You want some tears. You want some romance. You want to swoon a little bit as the guy, you know, his rippling abs are shown on screen or whatever.
Delicious.
Like there's that tension that builds and then all of a sudden they have their first steamy kiss. And, you know, those are the things that you get from a rom-com and those are the reasons that you keep going back to them because you know exactly what you're getting.
Yeah. And I think that's what I find so funny that my boyfriend, I don't think he likes. He finds them boring and predictable. And I'm like, give me the predictability.
Oh,
give me
yeah.
cheesy. Give me unrealistic because she woke up with perfect hair after a night together of steamy sex. And she's got perfect curls and makeup and looks beautiful. And don't even get me started on the sex scenes. But you know what? I'm here for the unrealistic standards because how else would I have my dream proposal already planned out from when I was six that is so unrealistic and impossible, but is at the level of rom-coms? And I'm okay with that. Well,
this is a thing as well. I think it is a bit of a challenge generally with like any kind of movie to not romanticize an idea. And this is something that I think rom-coms are particularly guilty of. They over-dramatize certain situations and make them seem a lot more romantic and desirable, I guess, than they may actually be in reality. Like, there are certain rom-coms that have not aged well at all. So ones that immediately spring to mind are Something Borrowed, which is a movie with Jennifer Goodwin, Kate Hudson, and I don't know the main guy in it, but it's mostly about those two women.
Is one of them the guys that was like in that Apple ad? Like I don't know. Justin Long or something? I could be wrong.
I think so. I think he was. Oh.
Hold on.
I don't know. I know that he's been in movies with Jennifer Goodwin before, but I'm not Jennifer sure Goodwin. If he was in this one. Anyway, not so the plot.
John Krasinski.
Oh.
What?
Well, there you go.
Okay.
I need to rewatch this movie. No, I don't because I don't like it.
No, I can't rewatch it. It's so cringe.
So for anyone who doesn't know this movie, essentially the plot line of it, if you don't want spoilers, then skip ahead a little bit. I'm not necessarily going to spoil it. No, I am going to spoil it. Let's be realistic. Spoiler. So the idea of this movie is there's this girl and she's engaged to this guy and her sister has kind of a history with this guy and there's always been something between them. And then they're planning their wedding and all of a sudden the sister and the fiance connect and they end up having this kind of steamy affair and sneaking around and cheating, essentially. And I remember watching this movie and I was old enough that I didn't glorify that situation and I fully acknowledged how it completely glorified cheating.
It did.
And made it seem like cheating was okay.
Yeah.
Because the sister and the fiance had this, you know, soulmate connection and they were meant for each other. And, you know, he was never right for the sister anyway. So it's all justified and it's all okay.
I think she ends up cheating as well the whole time after, I think, Kate Hudson's character is like, "Can't believe you cheated on me." And then afterwards she was like, "Actually, yeah, I was cheating on you the whole time." And it's just like, oh, because they were both doing it, it cancels each other out.
Yeah, I don't really remember the specifics, to be honest. I just remember that I hated that movie.
Cringe. Very, very
how
bad.
Much it glorified the whole cheating thing. Because for me personally, cheating is never okay.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not necessarily going to be entertaining, but in that situation, what I think should have been done is they should have broken up. And then if he wanted to pursue a relationship with the sister, then he could have, which is still kind of a little bit shady, but it's one of those things where at least there's no crossover. So it kind of makes it a little bit more okay.
Yeah.
But another one that didn't age particularly well is Shallow Hal, which is a movie with Jack Black and Gwyneth Paltrow. It's basically where this guy is super shallow. His name is Hal, funnily enough.
Makes sense.
And he is obsessed with beautiful women and he's really like materialistic and all about the looks and not so much about what's underneath and who a woman is. And I think he like has a spell cast on him or something like that. So he can only see the inner beauty of women. And
oh my
so
God,
he
I thought
ends
you were
up
see the insides, and I'm just imagining him with X-ray vision of like, here
guts
are your kidneys,
and muscles.
Literally, that's it, and just like walking around with like,
no,
I don't know. Just anyway, let's
no.
not go down that.
So
path.
He basically he'll see a woman, and rather than seeing her outer beauty, he'll see her inner beauty. So he'll see women who aren't conventionally attractive as really conventionally attractive because he's seeing their inner beauty rather than their outer beauty.
Yeah.
And so it's this whole thing where people are like, oh my God, I can't believe you're attracted to that woman. She's hideous. And he's like, wow, no, she's beautiful because he sees her differently.
Yeah.
And so he ends up dating Gwyneth Paltrow, who is really, really, really overweight, but he doesn't realize that because he sees her inner beauty. And so he sees her as this, you know, skinny, beautiful, model-esque kind of woman. And then over time, I think something happens and the spell wears off and he realizes and is like, oh my God, I've been dating ugly women this whole time. What's wrong with me? Blah, blah, blah. Jeez. And the moral of the story is supposed to be it's all about what's inside and it looks matters. Don't really matter that much. But it's the execution of it that just
it sounds
kind of missed the mark. And it was a bit insensitive and, yeah, just hasn't aged that well. But I think it is one of those things where you do need to acknowledge that whether we knew better or not at the time, those sorts of movies were made in a very particular time and
they were made
reflect
in the era.
Yeah, and like reflect society's values at that time and beauty standards and commonly held ideals. So by today's standards, that thing absolutely would not fly.
Outdated.
But back then, we kind of didn't really know better, or it was more widely accepted to, I don't know, buy into those sorts of storylines and for those things to do better and be more accepted, or just kind of not called out in the way that they are now.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, I think about some of my favorite movies and some of the scenes in them. I'm like, I'm just going to ignore that sexist comment or this gender stereotype or the unnecessary shaming of someone's body. Like in Love Actually, there's a scene where several times they call one of the characters fat.
Yeah.
And she's most definitely not fat.
I'm like, not fat.
Was it necessary to the plot to fat shame her? Probably not.
Yeah. And like, I think it is one of those things where we do have to acknowledge we can't necessarily hold absolutely everything to today's standards. Like, I know that there have been a lot of movies and TV shows that have been called out for being not acceptable, and so people are boycotting them and whatever. And fine if you don't want to watch a movie because you don't like what it stands for. But I think, like we said before, it is something where you do have to acknowledge it was made in a particular time, and you don't have to support that movie. That's totally fine. And I think we have come a long way in terms of those storylines and the tropes that are portrayed in film and TV. And, you know, there's always going to be a ways to go. But,
In a more fun mindset, I'm, again, looking at this list that no one else can actually see because it's in front of me, and that She's the Man is on your list.
Yeah. I love She's the Man. Like, there were so many Amanda Bynes movies that I just gobbled up when I was a kid or when I was a teenager. Like, What a Girl Wants as well is really
Lindsay
great.
Lindsay Lohan. Sorry, we forgot about
Lindsay Lohan. Oh, my God. Lindsay Lohan, of course. Sorry. Queen of rom-com. She was excellent. Oh. There were so many movies that she did in that time that were just excellent.
Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen.
Totally.
Just My Luck.
Oh,
I'm
so
sure
good.
There are some bigger ones.
So good.
Sorry here for her resurgence.
Oh, absolutely.
But anyway, so off topic. Well, it's on topic, but it's on a tangent, whatever.
Yeah. She's the Man is one of those movies for me where I rewatched it recently and it's still good. Like, I've seen that movie so many times. I think part of what I enjoy so much about it is the nostalgia factor. And it's so quotable. Like, I frequently say, catch up with you later. And like, well, yes, I do. My favorite's Gouda. And there's so many like individual quippy lines. Like, it's so quotable as a film that it's just, it's timeless for me, even though it is very of the time. Like, it's very early 2000s. And when you do watch it again, you're like, okay, yeah, that's pretty dated. But at the same time, I just love it. I'll rewatch that movie until the day I die. It's so good.
So good. So good. I don't know. I don't think I've mentioned Suddenly 30 yet, but that's probably one of my all-time favorites. I remember watching that religiously when it was on TV back in the days when, you know, pre-streaming days. I would watch it with my mum on the couch on a Saturday night with the ads because, you know, that's just how it was. And it just has imprinted on me so much. And I remember growing up and finding out this other movie, 13 Going on 30. And I was like, wait, this looks like a ripoff of Suddenly 30. And for some reason, they released it with a different name in North America versus other countries like Australia.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that.
Well, they did it with the Harry Potter books as well, the first one.
They did it with that Zac Efron movie, Bad Neighbours.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, in Australia, it's called Bad Neighbours, but elsewhere, it's just called Neighbours because, I mean, we have Neighbours, the TV show, so I think it's one of those things where, from a searchability perspective, it just, like, would not do well.
Interesting.
But I personally like the name Suddenly 30 a lot better. Me too. Like, 13 Going on 30 works, but with the concept of the movie, she was suddenly literally 30. Like, she woke up and all of a sudden she was 30. So it's one of those things where it's like, I like our name better. But you Americans, you can call it 13 on going on 30.
That movie made me want to grow up and made me want to work in a magazine and live in New York and have a beautiful wardrobe and date adult men as an adult, not as a kid. Obviously, just got to clarify that. and just enjoy being 30. And now that I'm nearing 30 slowly, I'm like, I can't wait to be 30, flirty and thriving.
I know. That's totally going to be my, like, Instagram post when I turn 30. It's going to be 30, flirty and thriving.
Oh, I'm really hoping
I can remember. Absolutely not original whatsoever, but I'm totally okay with that.
I want to have a suddenly 30 themed 30th. I feel like that would be fun. Would know what to do about it.
So I recently saw a video on TikTok about a 13 going on 30 themed party
where my God, iconic.
People dress up as their 13-year-old selves.
I saw that.
Yeah, and so I really want to do that. I love that as an idea. Like, just get really daggy. Wear your Junnas. Wear your, like, Supre rah-rah skirt over the top of leggings. Oh, like, yeah.
With the big belt and the owl necklace.
Totally. The slogan tees. Like, I am specifically saving my Drop Beats Not Bombs Supre shirt for pretty much this exact party. That's because so that is going to be glorious to unveil. Oh, I don't think I have any rah-rah skirts anymore, thankfully. But, you know, I'll figure it out. I'll work something together.
On the same vein of suddenly 30 in TikTok, when I first discovered the actress on TikTok that played young Jenna in Suddenly 30.
Christy something? Christy something?
Allen?
Christy Allen? Yeah.
Something like that. And she, I think one of her first videos, or it was a Halloween video, or her 30th birthday, it was something iconic that made reference to the movie. She did the dressing up scene.
She dressed up in Jenna's dress.
She did the whole get ready, the hair, and it was like, it's the spitting image of Jennifer Garner. And I, like, probably cried.
Yeah, that casting was so perfect for her being the young Jennifer Garner, because honestly, they look like they could be related.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. And I mean, They literally just don't make rom-coms like they used to anymore.
I know. For me, one of those rom-coms that, again, I will watch over and over and over again and bore my eyes out every time and never get sick of is The Notebook. Like, that's another one as well.
I know that, like, word for word. It's embarrassing.
Oh, pretty much same. It's one of those ones where I know there's a lot of people who really cringe at it, and it is really cheesy, and their relationship is so toxic and volatile.
That probably aged badly too.
Yeah, but it is one of those things where it is just one of those love stories where it's so passionate and fiery, and even though it is toxic, like, you're just really rooting for them, even though Ali's so annoying. Like, I want to hit her in the face because she's so annoying. But I also just want her and Ryan Gosling's character to be together forever. Noah, so good. I just want them to be together forever and just, you know, watch their steamy rain kiss forever and just on a repeat in my head. It's just one of those movies where it's my, like, go-to Valentine's Day, like, single girl Valentine's Day movie.
Slay
where
girl, slay.
I want to just bore my eyes out over another couple's relationship and just get, like, you know, really in my feels. I always put on The Notebook every single year without fail. Right.
Now I need to watch it again. It's been a long time since I watched it. And I don't even know if my boyfriend has seen it, to be honest. And that movie I watched to death. Like, I remember just what happened to DVD and just watching it to death. And then I remember at some point, I think we must have been late teens, I think it was Ryan Gosling or Rachel McAdams were like, oh, I'm going to step back from acting and take a break. And I thought, I'm not going to have another Notebook. What's going to happen? And I don't think it actually happened, and it doesn't affect my life at all. But yeah, that's an iconic movie, and I definitely cry every single time. Why didn't you write me? I wrote to you every day, 365 days, 365 letters, or whatever the quote is. Never good at getting quotes directly correct, but it's in the same vein, and that's all that matters. Points for trying. Don't come for me.
Ryan Gosling is such a good leading man, can I just say? Like, he has chemistry with so many leading ladies of Hollywood, like Emma Stone.
Rachel McAdams.
I'm trying to think of others, but, like, mostly Emma Stone and Rachel McAdams. Like, Crazy Stupid Love is one of my favorite rom-coms. It's so good.
Unexpectedly, I don't know, the twist at the end is just, like, whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. And, like, La La Land as well, the two of them have ridiculous off-the-charts chemistry.
Oh, it's so realistic.
He is such a good leading man. He's so good. But in terms of other movies that we had on our list, just kind of reeling them off. We had 10 Things I Hate About You, mm-hmm. How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. I had 27 Dresses.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I never
27 Dresses
is good. I don't think I've rewatched it, but I remember enjoying it.
I think I've seen it a couple of times. It's not necessarily one that I'll, like, gravitate towards and be like, oh, I really want to watch that. But, like, if it's on, yeah. I'll watch it and I'll enjoy it.
The Disney classics, obviously.
Yeah, well, Disney classics are one of those where I don't necessarily consider them to be rom-coms. Like, they're just Disney movies. They kind of feel like they're in a category of their own.
Than com.
I mean, if you really think about it, there are certain Disney movies where they do have comedic elements, but it is definitely more, I feel like Disney's kind of its own genre in a way.
That's true. I'll allow that.
Yeah. Yeah. But otherwise, I also had The Proposal, Dear John, Me Before You, The Princess Diaries, Clueless. Princess Diaries is so good. I literally wrote on my list pretty much anything with Mary-Kate and Ashley as well.
Anything like with
New York Minute. They did so many movies when they were younger, honestly. Insane. And, like, so many classics as well. So like, I will many. Absolutely go on a Mary-Kate and Ashley movie binge and just be stoked about it.
I recently found my DVD collection from when I was a kid of my Mary-Kate and Ashley movies. So I very saw fitting timing. Billboard Dad, Holiday Time, yes. Or whatever it's called. Holiday in the Sun, sorry. So good.
Winning
London.
The one
London. Where they're in Paris and they meet those two Paris boys.
Yeah, I can't remember what that one's called.
Probably Holiday in Paris or some shit.
Something like that. I don't know. There's Winning London as well, which was the one that they set in London. In terms of other movies that I had on my list, Four Weddings and a Funeral, I actually only saw that like within the last few years, but I really, really enjoyed that one. And it is a classic rom-com. When Harry Met Sally.
Passport to Paris.
Passport to Paris.
Passport to Paris. I told you it would be something obvious.
When Harry Met Sally is also a classic. And of course, we mentioned it before, but Pretty Woman as well.
That's all time, one of my all time favorites up there.
Absolutely. It's so good. So good.
Well, that was a good trip down memory lane.
Absolutely,
and some good recs. We'll drop in our faves and this list. I actually managed to find the proper spreadsheet whilst we've been recording this.
Hell yeah.
So I will drop that full thing in. She's got it ranked. She's got like 150, I think.
Oh, my God.
Separated by year, classics, ones that are extra rom-commie or extra commie, wow. Her top eight. It's good. There's a lot of columns. It goes all the way up to Z. Or oh, Z, my God. Whatever. So we'll drop that in. But I feel like 30 minutes of rom-comming is a good note to end on.
I think so. We want to hear your recommendations, though. So head over to our Instagram and slide into our DMs or drop them on the post about this episode.
Yeah.
Because we're always in the mood to reminisce about rom-coms and go on a trip down memory lane. But while you're there, if you aren't following us already, make sure to follow us on socials. We've got an email address as well. If you've got any conversation topics that you want us to cover in the future, need any advice, anything like that.
Slide into the DMs.
Absolutely.
And don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. You guys know how much it means to us and we love having you along. We don't want you to miss those little notification bells when we release our next episode every Wednesday. So come along with us as we always talk about the areas of life that might not always have a one-size-fits-all approach on It's a Definite Maybe. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Bye.